The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 6. Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those who from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear siblings in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever watched or read those reunion stories that come by on social media or on TV where children have been separated from birth, maybe twins, and they meet when they're like in their 50s and they have this great reunion and everything's wonderful? Have you seen those? They only tell you the good stories, right? Aw, isn't that heartwarming? They got back together after all these years and it was beautiful. They don't tell you the stories where they get together and one says, "Well, where have you been my whole life? My life has been awful, blah, 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 blah." Yeah, they don't tell you those. They don't make the news. But the story of Joseph and his brothers has been making the news now for centuries. Most of us know the story, I think. Joseph was a little snot. Okay, if he was your little brother, you probably wouldn't have appreciated him very much. He had dreams of grandeur. He had dreams that his brothers would bow down to him, and the brothers weren't having much of it, but he was daddy's favorite, and he got this beautiful coat and all this jazz. And the brothers are like, "Yeah, no." And so, you know, they went back and forth between, should we kill him? Or let's just throw him in the pit and leave him to the elements. And they ended up, you know, selling him to the Egyptians. Where does that story come from? That was before that story. And Joseph, you know, most of the book of Genesis is the travails of Joseph in all of that time when he had been sold. And when he was working for Egypt, and as he grew in stature and in power, And what we have in our text today about this Joseph story is the very end, where Joseph and the brothers recognize each other. Now, Joseph has already played a few pranks on them. Okay, he's not all good. I mean, not all benevolent. But here is Joseph. And finally, he is in a significant position of power. And this is important to note. Joseph has all the power in this story. And he forgives the brothers. He seeks their good. He asks if he is in the place of God because he knows God alone can forgive. But Joseph and his actions say, "I don't wish you any harm anymore. I don't want you to starve in this famine. And I certainly don't want my father to be hurting when I have so much and everyone else in the land is hurting." And Joseph and his brothers are not only reunited, but reconciled. There's a big difference there, right? You ever been to family reunions where people are reunited but not reconciled? It's not fun. It is not fun. But this was a genuine reconciliation. And we hold on to that story. And it's also a troubling story because Joseph tells the brothers, you know, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. And that's troublesome because a lot of people take that to mean, well, you know, it doesn't matter how abused you've been, God will mean good for it to happen, good to come from it. And good can come from bad stuff, but God doesn't intend you to go through the bad stuff just to see what can happen on the good side down the road, 50 years down the road. God brought it to good. And I think we need to hold on to those big questions of suffering because God, I don't believe God causes suffering to bring something to good down the road. There are more than 1 billion people in this world that are hungry. They go to bed without enough food in their tummies, without adequate shelter, without housing or clean water. God doesn't intend for that. God intends for those of us who are in positions like power, of power, like Joseph, to do something to alleviate their suffering. There's no question about that. We have the power to alleviate suffering. But then along comes Jesus, and he amps up the rhetoric 100-fold. He says, you know what? Love your enemies, because that's what's going to set you apart as followers of me. Not only if you are in a powerful position, but whatever position you are in, love your enemies. Because anybody can love their friends. Anybody can love something they expect something from, but it's work. And here's where we've got to be careful about crossing the line into works righteousness. It's work to love the people you don't like. Amen? It is work to love the people you don't like. But Jesus lays it out in this text. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Is there a word in here about retribution? Uh-uh. Yeah, but. Nope, there's no yeah, but in here either. This is where becoming a follower of Jesus is serious business. If we want to not be like the rest of the world, Jesus calls us to love our enemies. Not to preemptively strike because we think they're going to do something horrible, but to love our enemies. Not only that, be merciful. And here's the golden rule is right here in this text. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's following Jesus and every other major religion in the world. Okay, you will find people in all of those other religions that say, vengeance is mine, not God's. But that's not what their religion says. Judaism, Islam, they all have a golden rule. And here's where Christians sometimes get really, really tangled up. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. But Jesus, we want to judge. I read a local author not too long ago that actually had a footnote that said, this is the most misinterpreted piece of scripture ever. And because the author found a footnote, obviously they were legitimized. Do not be deceived. Jesus calls us not to judge our neighbors, but to love our neighbors. It's the easiest, hardest thing in the world. To love the people you don't like. To not judge. When you're feeling really judgy, Lord, we want to judge. And here's the thing. It's not a work. We are called by Jesus to follow Jesus. And when we look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, we see one, perhaps the only one, who could truly walk the walk. Jesus had mercy on the ones the rest of society found untouchable. The lepers, the sex workers, the soldiers, the tax collectors. Jesus found mercy and said, remember Zacchaeus? I'm coming to your house tonight. Well, that's how Jesus is with all of us, in his mercy, his love. Hey, you, I'm coming to your house tonight. Hey, you, guess what? I welcome you to my meal today. Not because we're great or we're worthy. I know you're all great. But in Lutheran tradition, we are also sinners, sinners and saints, all at the same time. Jesus welcomes us. If it were up to us, our sins probably would have been enough to take him to the cross. But you know what happened when Jesus was on the cross? While he was being nailed to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Now that's mercy. Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, exemplified forgiveness and mercy and loving the one who hated you, hated him. Joseph was a precursor. And it's a wonderful story. But Jesus is the one who calls us to faithfully follow him, to love not only the loved ones, but to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, and to not judge, lest we be judged. And the kicker at the end, give and it will be given to you, a good measure. Pressed down, shaken, running over will be put in your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Dear, beloved, generous, loving siblings in Christ, these promises are for you. May the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.